Teenage years, I'll never forget how horrible junior high was. Truly the most horrible 2 years of life. See, for me, junior high was 7th and 8th grade. I don't know. I don't think I've ever talked to anybody who said, you know, 12, 13, 14, those were the best years when everything was awesome. All those hormones, everything's weird. Your body's growing like out of proportion. None of that stuff is working out very well. But not only that, a lot of teenagers, and then by the way, this is the same of adults, but we're worried about our kids right now. Negative talk going on inside their heads, right? So how do we address that? I'm so happy to have back on the show our friend, psychologist, licensed clinical social worker, author of When Kids Call the Shots, Sean Grover. Sean, thanks so much for coming on today. Let's dive into this, though. Is this self-talk, this negative self-talk, Sean, it's pretty common, isn't it?
Oh, it's very common. I mean, if you really look at the adolescent brain and what they're going through, you've got irregularities in their brain development. You got hormone imbalances. You got biological maturation. And then you have this prefrontal cortex that's undeveloped. What is that in charge of? It's in charge of mood regulation, impulse control, decision making. These functions are all compromised. Something we call in the business Trump brain.
Trump. Did you say Trump brain?
Yes, the therapists, we use that term now and then when we run into people who have trouble making decisions, controlling their impulses or their mood. That's the shorthand.
I got it. Okay, patients so we just...
I got a Trump brain patient coming in. Oh, no.
I just wanted to make sure I was clear that I heard you properly. Okay, so we're making rash decisions. We're doing these, but that, you know, look, adults suffer from this too, but I'm worried about teenagers, right? I mean, we look back at... Well, I mean, I hate to even go down this path, but I look at everything from Columbine to, you know, those are the most extreme cases. And I don't know what the diagnosis is there. But even a regular teenager, I remember being 13 and just hating things. It was awkward. It was difficult things. Life is hard. It really is, for as much as they don't have to pay rent yet. It's difficult to go through that. So with all this that's happening in their brain and the rewiring that's going on, what are we supposed to, as a parent though, you know, my kids aren't quite teenagers yet, Sean, but what are we supposed to do? What can we do as parents, as teachers, as people involved with teenagers?
Well, I think, you know, what you started with the show with today was in terms of identifying what you felt like as a teenager, how you were isolated or felt depressed or struggled socially. Most teenagers will say to me, one teenager said to me the other day, what's with adults? They forget what it was like to be kids.
You know, yes,
so
we do.
If you can identify that in yourself, you're already on solid ground. You're more empathic, more understanding. Because early adolescence, the child enters into a grieving period. It's called sort of a developmental depression, where they sort of mourn the loss of their childhood. It's a death of innocence. Parents are just humans. They're not superhumans. There's mortality. All these things come crushing down on a preteen child, and they have to sort through this with a brain that just isn't functioning very well.
Oh my, that's actually depressing what you just described, Sean Grover, psychologist.
It's totally depressing. Absolutely.
So what do we do? I mean, you know, like sometimes my son, who's 10, he's probably in that preteen phase of what you're describing right now. You know, hey, leave me alone. So is that what we're supposed to do? Or is that time where we're supposed to not leave them alone when they want to be left alone?
Okay. Well, your son's 10 years old, so he's on the brink, right?
Right.
So the parenting model that parents use with early age children generally starts to fall apart in adolescence. So if you try to parent a 10-year-old the way you parented him when he was 5, and you will parent him differently, much differently when he's 14. You know, when a younger child, you can make executive decisions. You know, it's all about, no, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. That's not safe. In adolescence, if you rely heavily on that, you're going to incite defiance. So it's a much more collaborative model. So the first thing you want to do is get a hold on your own impulses and your own frustrations. Because if you go after your kid impulsively, punishing or people who engage in shaming and all these things, your child's just going to get better at lying at you, better at hiding things from you. So we want to first get a handle on the adult. That's my first job when I'm working with a kid and working with their parents. I got to get them to sit still for a second and stop being so reactive and entering into this cycle of just reacting, because then that sets the tone for your child. They'll become more impulsive and more reactive. So the first thing everyone needs is a reflective pause. Something's happened. Let's take some space. Let's not make any decisions, and let's explore this. That right there will ground that conversation in a way that if you just fly off the handle and he becomes defensive and you counterattack, that's just going nowhere good.
That's completely logical, although, you know, overcoming our own feelings is always the most difficult thing, I think, at least for a lot of adults, is, hey, I've got my own ego that gets in the way of all of this. Sean Grover, licensed clinical social worker, author of When Kids Call the Shots, is joining me on the phone right now. So, I've actually had a lot of experts on the show, Sean, that say electronics, get rid of them. There's so much data. There's so much science. Actually, one of them is Dr. Victoria Dunkley. She's been on a bunch of times. We've talked about this a lot. So getting the electronics away is both exceptionally difficult the older they get and exceptionally important to allow their brains to function properly in this world. So a lot of things that you talk about in this article is about quiet, right? Don't yell, gives me space, bring me someplace quiet, take my electronics away. Tell me about what that is doing for the child as we kind of give them that quiet. I mean, I know what it does for me as an adult, but what does that do to a teenager?
Well, it really depends on the teenager. Now, some teenagers may have a cell phone, a smartphone, may do things online, but they have a very full life. So maybe they play an instrument, they're in a band, they do theater. They have all these sources for self-esteem that they draw from. They're usually not in any great danger when it comes to technology because it's just something it's a tool they use for communication, but it doesn't devour their life. If you have a kid that's socially isolated, that is heading in towards a depression, and there's this vacuum, that's when the electronics really begin to move in and take over. And these games encourage impulsivity, a lot of these games, honestly, Ethan, were developed by the army to desensitize soldiers to war. And these are the games that we're putting in the hands of children. So if you have a kid that's in a depressive state, isolated without any of these tools to manage themselves, and you leave them alone hours and hours playing games, they basically enter into this kind of they lose their emotional intelligence, the ability to relate to someone, to identify their own feelings. They become a sort of stranger to themselves. They're just this reactive being. And it truly is an addiction at that point. So if your child's heading towards that direction, putting limits on technology is absolutely essential. And then filling the emptiness with real, true esteem-building activities, something that really capitalizes on their strengths and their talents.
Yeah, this is a very important topic, and it's critical that we all pay attention to what's going on with our teenagers, our kids. Sean Grover, he's author of When Kids Call the Shots, psychologist. The article in Psychology Today is The Negative Voices in Your Teenager's Head. Sean, it is always great to catch up with you. Thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me, Ethan.